Okay, we are ready for our siyum. We're going to finish Navi Zechariah today, Mir Tashem. And as always, our shir is Rachel Leibas of Chaim Tzvi. She should have a lichtige Gan Eden. Okay, so we resume. Remember last time we spoke about how Zechariah's cheerful message of consolation. The men and women will be in the streets in Jerusalem, the kids will be playing. And that's what Rabbi Kiva saw. Rabbi Kiva had the great Jewish perspective. Everybody's crying, oy, oy, oy. But one who has the far look, I'll give you just a very, very weak analogy. Those my age, that's probably no one out there. Those of you 24, 25, like me, remember that famous cover from New Yorker magazine? Is it New York magazine? New Yorker? New York magazine. New York? New York? The New Yorker, I think. Well, you see in Manhattan, you see 6th Avenue, 7th Avenue, 8th Avenue, and looking back, it's little China and little Russia. I see things. It's a certain perspective. New Yorkers, out of town is nothing. But it's such a wonderful thing to be in the presence of Gedolim. And I have this privilege in seeing that there's such a yawning chasm in how we look at things and how they look at things. And it's refreshing their perspective. He couldn't be greater. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Lazar ben Azar, Rabbi Yeshua, the greatest. Rabbi stood up and they conceded to him. Akiva Nechamtano, Akiva Nechamtano. You need a perspective, and it's so hard in this world, and you see you getting hit from the right and the left, and there's shidduchim, there's problems, and there's finances. If you only have the perspective to understand, that's why we learn the Navi. The Navi, he gives us the direction. Because if you want to look for what to understand what's going on, and look at all the news fit for time, times, that's not going to tell you how to see things. But the Navi gives us direction, our Chum gives us direction. The analogy we said two classes ago with a person in the airport. The airport was so noisy, and he heard an announcement, and he said, I don't know what it is. I missed my flight. I better go ask one of the agents. It's the Nevi'im. It's the Chacham. They are the agents which direct us how to get onto our flight, what's our destination. The voice comes forth from Sinai, and that voice from Sinai says, learn Torah, but what's the point of the voice if we don't hear it? We need the agent to clarify for us so that there's a point to all this. Okay, we left off, we're in Perek Zayin. We're going to go and finish Ches, we'll go back to Zayin. Zayin Ches. Pasuk, we're in the middle. Let's just say it again. Pasuk Dalet. Komar Shem Tzvakot, O Yeshu Zekenu Vizkenes Berchavis Yishalayim, Ish Mish'anto B'yadam Rav Yamin. Thus said the Master of Legions, old men, old women will once again sit in Jerusalem, the city streets of Jerusalem, each with a staff in his hand because of the advanced age. I can't tell you. I see old people walking in Yerushalayim with the sticks. I think, Zechariah Navi, this is very good. We're coming towards the end of days. This is an apocalyptic vision. I have no problem with it. Okay, so what's going to happen? In the days of the redemption, elderly people, who even those who require canes, will be showing up to outside their homes, as young people do, says the Mitzvot David. In the days of the peace that redemption will bring, even weak people will not fear to sit in the streets of Jerusalem. Okay, Pasuk Hey. Urchavos ha'ir yomol yilodim v'ilodos m'sachakim v'chosim. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls playing. Street. In other words, it says Mitzvah, there'll be so many children that playing in the streets that they're going to fill the streets. Imagine that there's nothing. The kids will be everywhere. The peace that the redemption will bring, even children will not fear to play in the streets of Jerusalem, says the Malbim. Playing in the streets, there'll be so much prosperity that the children will be able to play happily. Amazing thing in the Radin ghetto. And she describes this very well, Professor Yaffa Eliach. How children also, children are children, they wanted to play. So what did they play in the ghetto? They played Leviah. They played running from the Nazis. And their dolls were pieces of old shmata rags. But in Yerushalayim, at the end of days, there'll be plenty, the kids will be out in the streets. They'll be playing these silly games, which, silly toys, but they'll be playing, in the streets they'll be playing. That will be prosperity. In the past, children didn't have time to play. There wasn't prosperity, children had to work. But this time children have time to have the innocence of childhood, as Diane and Michael Medved called their book. They'll have the innocence of childhood, they'll be able to play, not be working in the sweatshops. Pasuk Vav. Wow, this is a strange one. Thus said God, Master of Legions, just as it will be wondrous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in those days, so it will be wondrous in my eyes. It's the word of Hashem. And there's a miracle that Ibn Ezra says. It's a hard part to say that God will find it. God will also find it to be a miracle. God does the miracle. What does that mean? So Ibn Ezra says that God says that I have never done miracles like this. I will, and I'm going to outdo myself with these miracles. But that's not the way most people understand the pshat. Says in Rabak, even Hashem, so to speak, amazing things will happen at that time. The phrase should be read as a question. Is it wondrous in my eyes too? So now we have from here till the end of the Perek, till Pasuk 15, even more words of consolation. That's going to happen until the prophet returns to the issue of the fast days, which was our transgression from. And over here, well, this is really where Pasuk Zion connect to Pasuk Ches, but we're going to move on to Pasuk Ches at this point. Let me just read to you Pasuk Yud Beis. For now the seed is of peace. The vine gives forth its fruit, the land gives forth its produce, and the heavens give forth their dew. I put all these upon the remnant of this people. How did I read the wrong passage? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Let's go back. We're in the 12th pasuk in Perek Zion. I read in Perek Ches. V'libam samu shamir mishmo es tatora v'esadar v'sher shalom Hashem. This is such a jolt of Musar. Hashem Tzavakos Berucho B'yad HaNevi'im HaRishonim V'yiketzev Gadol Meis Hashem Tzavakos Yud Beis, which means they made their hearts iron. Rather than hear the teaching in the words that Hashem, Master of Legions, had sent by His Spirit, the earliest prophets, and his great rage from Hashem, the Master of Hosts, means that it's a frightening description of Mida Keneged Mida. Just like you didn't listen to the first Nevi'im and you had Yirmiyah thrown in jail, there was a time when you will need to listen to Hashem. And if there's no time, then you'll need God to listen to you, and that's not going to happen. The Mida Keneged Mida. You should listen to God, you should have changed your ways. You didn't do it. You didn't listen. You became obstinate, coarse in death. And then all of a sudden you're going to want God to listen to you, and God will not be listening. God's ears will not be attentive. We move on to Perek Ches. A truly wonderful Perek, and I say this because I understand it, so I'm very excited. Perek Ches. You know what, let's start over here. Pasuk. Just one more time, we'll go back. We learned in the beginning, Parakhes, that there'll be some longevity, that people will be walking sticks. They're going to be healthy people, just people get weaker when they get older. People will be. It's really a blessing of old age. That's what the Navi is saying. And what does it mean that God will find it wondrous? The times will be so good for the Jews that even God is going to wonder at the miracles. And the Navi concentrates on making Jerusalem this prime symbol of the prophecy, the description of the redemption of the Jewish people. We have in Yud Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel. I mentioned this when we started learning three times ago. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayakasher hayisim klala bagoyim beis hashbet Yehuda. Yisro she'etzchem yisim bracha al tirao echizakna yedechem. 13 means. And it happened that just as you, O house of Yehuda, house of Israel, have been a curse for the nations, so I will save you and you will be a blessing. Do not fear and let your hands be strong. A hands is a metaphor, meaning, just like the word Jew is a pejorative, right? I told you before, the Nuremberg rally of Hitler. Juden unser Unglück, the Jews are their misfortune, that's going to turn around. You're going to be the source of blessing. Everyone's going to have a connection to a Jew. They want to know that they'll be safe with the Jew. Pasuk Yudalid. Pasuk Yudalid teaches us. Ki chomar Hashem Tzvakot, kasher zamamdi lahara lachem, paktifa voseichem. Osi amar Hashem Tzvakot, velo nichamti. For God said, the Master of Legions, just as I had planned to bring misfortune upon you, when your forefathers angered me, said Hashem, Master of Hosts, and I did not relent from doing so, so that means none of the words of the Churban went unfulfilled. The Tochacha that we have in Dvarim, that we have in Parashat Chukos, it was not unfulfilled. I mean, no one really wants to say this, but if anything, it was understated. Every word of it in our days, in the time of the Churban of the Churban Europe, we saw the Churban fulfilled. That's what happened when God gets angry. There's no questions here. God predicted this would happen. Indeed, it did happen. And we have now Tes Zayin, which is really that Gemara in the end of Makkos. That's the Gemara. Tes Zayin says the following. Tes Zayin is, Eila hadvarim asher ta'asu dibru emes ish al re'ehu emes u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'areichem. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth with one another, and in your gates judge with truth, justice, and peace. Okay. I'm so sorry. I should have done the pasuk before that. Wow. Dibru emes shalom. Ken shavdi zamamti b'yamim ha'ele la'hitiv es Yerushalayim ves Beis Yehuda al tirao. As we said, Jerusalem is the ultimate symbol. So what does this have to do with you, the good that I foretold is also to be taken literally? I told you if you don't do, there's going to be like the Tochacha, it'll be bad. But also the good which I said, that's also going to happen very literally. As we saw with our own eyes, those words from the Tochacha that are fulfilled that we saw in the Holocaust, it was literally happening. Likewise, all the good which I told you that's going to happen, that will also be literal, that will be fulfilled. Boy, we could use that. And this very same idea we had in Perek Zion, which we've learned already, Pasuk Ches. Midvar Hashem Azuchar Elimor, Komar Hashem Zuchar Elimor, Mishpat Emes Shoftu, Chesed Racham Ya'asu Ish Al Re'ehu. You must do the judgment of truth and kindness and compassion, each person to the fellow person. For the widow, for the orphan, Lo Mani Yasam Ger Va'ani Al Tashoku. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the stranger, the poor man, the destitute. Know guile in your hearts. Powerful words of the Navi. And as this is Rabbi Kiva at the end of Makkos, for now I know the words of the Shalom Hilchul Bo, like people said, I now know that these words are to be taken literally. I know that I saw foxes were coming out of the base of Mikdash. I know these words were fulfilled. It meant literally the Navi. So now I know also that all the good words will also be taken literally. Don't be afraid. Tachzur Yedeichem, don't be afraid. I shall tell you precisely what to do. And this is the charge of Second Temple. But the people failed at this charge. You failed at the charge. Each person shall speak peace, shall speak emes, which says the Radaka means you shouldn't be two-faced. And emes, mishpat shalom shaftu b'sharechem, just we have in like we have in seven, in the second, seventh paragraph we have the same pasuk, almost the same thing here in the eighth paragraph. If justice is done, peace results between the two contestants. For even the person whom the court rules against realizes the truth. That's very rare. Usually when you go to court, one who wins feels that justice was perpetrated, and one who loses feels that justice, that injustice was perpetrated. Very rare that there could be a compromise, and every party would think that this was the fair decision. But that's what's going to happen. Even the person who was ruled against will feel that the truth was has been executed. Chazal notes the three components mentioned here, and they are truth, justice, and peace. And how can all three of them exist at once? And the answer is, I'm going to ask this again. Truth, justice, and peace. How can it all happen at the same time? How can you have peace if you have truth? And you have truth, how do you have justice? And the answer is, this is what Chazal say, when you reach a pshara, when you have a compromise. At the same time, care should be taken that justice is not perverted. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Vav Amud Beis. And don't forget what it says in Pirkei Avos in the first perek, Al Shlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Kayam, Al Hadin, V'Al Emes, V'Al Shalom. Justice, truth, and peace, these are the pillars of a viable world. B'shua sheker al tehavu ki es kol eile asher sanesi. Don't, the false oath, you shouldn't love to do it, because this is what God despises. A person should not love what God hates. God tells you, I hate stealing, I hate falsehood. Don't like that. You're in bad shape, because this is what God despises. Hashem hates perjury, and therefore we should not love it either. Says the Radak. Pasuk ouch. Pasuk Yudches. We're on a roll. We got to finish. Let's go, everybody. Pasuk Yudches. Yudches, Yudches, Yudches. Yudches. Vehi dvar Hashem tzvakot elai lemor. Yutes. Extremely, exceedingly famous pasuk, deservedly so, saying, thus said the God, the Master of Legion, to fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth month. By now everyone knows what this means. The fifth month, that's Av. The fourth month, that's Tammuz. The fast of the seventh month, that's Tishrei, that's Tzom Gedalia. The fast of the tenth month, right, that's the Sarah B'Teves, will be the house of Yehuda for joy and gladness and for happy festivals. All these fast days which have to do with the destruction of Yerushalayim will be turned around, spun around, and they're going to go from sad days into festivals, days of joy. It's already, the DNA is there. Only love, truth, and peace. The Babylonians breached the walls of Yerushalayim on this fourth month. That's Shavuos v'Tammuz. You can see that, by the way, in Yirmiyah, Perek Lamed Gimel, Lamed Tes, rather. They destroyed the temple on the fifth month. That's Tisha B'Av. Gedaliah was murdered in the seventh month. That's the third of Tishrei. And the siege began in the tenth month, Asar B'Teves. And that's why these days became days of fasting and days of mourning. Tzom Harvi, we've said that means already, that's Tzom one more time in Tammuz, that's when the walls of Jerusalem were cracked. In times of Bais Rishon, that's on the 17th of Tammuz. Tzom HaChamishi, the fifth month, that's Shivasar, but really is the 7th to the 10th of Av, that's when the Bais was built. We commemorate that on the 9th of Av. Tzom HaShvi'i, on the month of the 7th month, that's memory of Gedaliah ben Achikam, he was murdered on Rosh Hashanah. And on the 10th month, that's Asar B'Teves, that's when Yerushalayim was laid siege to. And the Navi is only referring to those fast days. There's no position here, no point here for Tainis Esther. These are only the fast days that were used for fasting and for cogitating and for mourning over the Churban Yerushalayim that occurred in time of Nebuchadnezzar. And but he doesn't talk about Yom Kippur, because that is because Yom Kippur is from the Torah, and it's also not, has nothing to do with the Churban Abayis. Yom Kippur is a day of expiation, of atonement. It'll be for Beis Yehuda, Ba'emes V'Shalom Ahavu. This is the condition. You want good, the way to fulfill the good, the way to actualize the good, the way to execute the good, is to guarantee that you're going to love peace. And if you love peace, I mean, just all the machlokasim fall away if a person who loves peace. All the arguments fall away if a person loves peace. And if you love truth. Because if you don't love truth, then you can rationalize, and which is an immoral thing to do. Okay, the four fast days commemorating the exile are in the fourth month. We said this already. All right. It'll be for the house of Yehuda. In the period of Second Temple, these fast days were abolished by the tribe of Yehuda, who was the only one to return from the exile. Because the 10 tribes did not return, this decree does not apply to them. Ve'emes v'shalom ahavu. And the fast days will be abolished if the people will love truth and peace, for only then will the true redemption come about. You may have noticed that there's a lot of the word love comes up a lot, referring to Mitzvot. In other words, it's not just enough to do the Mitzvot, you have to love to do the Mitzvot. And that's the attachment to God. Okay. And we have now, let's look, now we're going to switch to Perek Tes for just one Pasuk. Perek Tes, we have Pasuk Tes, which is Gili Ma'od Bas Tzion Hari Bas Yishlam Hinei Malkech Yavo Lach Tzadik V'Noshahu Ani Rochev Alachamor Ayer Ben Asanas. That isn't the most famous thing you ever heard of. Number 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Tzion. Shout for joy, O daughter of Jerusalem, for behold, your king will come to you. Righteous and victorious is he, a humble man, riding upon a donkey, ani rochev al chamor, upon a foal, a calf of she donkeys. As Rashi explains, that the Mashiach is going to come in a humble man on a humble donkey, not on this ostentatious horse, not in a Mercedes. It's a humble man. And you see how the Navi is so easy to be abused and taken to allude to other messiahs when he's talking about what's going to happen with Mashiach. The Maharal writes in Gevurah Hashem that the donkey that's going to carry Mashiach, he chamor from the word chomer, which means chomer, the base, the material world, chumrius. Is that the lesson is that the donkey will be riding, Mashiach will be riding on the donkey. He'll be above the material world. And that parak talks about the tzaddikim, like Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, they also were able to ride on top of the donkey. Let me just also explain to you. So Malkech, that means what's going to happen, rule in the future. These are those who return from Bavel, and because of their righteousness, at that time Yehuda will be saved. And just the poor Ani riding on the donkey, that's not like before with all these pomp and fanfare and aid. On the contrary, the humbleness of a poor man riding on the donkey. What symbolism? And we learn from the Maharal, it means also to climb above it, to ride on top of it, the ones you are. Perek Yudalid. Okay, home stretch, final Perek. Flip over to Perek Yudalid. This is the Haftarah in the first day of Sukkos, by the way. Pasuk 1. This deals mainly with the description of the Milchamas Gog u'Magog, the final war of Jerusalem, which you'll find in greater description. The famous description is in the 38th Perek of Yechezkel. Hine yom ba l'Hashem v'chulak shalech b'kirbech. Behold, the day is coming for Hashem, when your spoils will be divided up in your midst. A special day for Hashem will come. A beloved day for Hashem will come, says Rashi. And all the loot that have been taken from Israel over the years will be returned to them and be divided among the people. And Gargamel will capture Shalayim and begin to divide up the spoils. Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis. Vasafti es kol hagoyim el shushalayim l'milchama. V'nilkadai yir v'nashasu habatim v'nashim. Tishkavna v'yotza hayachatzi ha'ir bagola v'yeser ha'am lo yikareis v'na'ir. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem for the war. The city will be captured. The houses will be pillaged. And the woman will be violated. Half of the city will go out into exile, but the rest of the people will not be eliminated from the city in that war of Gog and Magog. And this is how the loot will be returned. The nation will decide to make war on Jerusalem, says Mesudas Levi. The forces of Edom will gather together to take Yerushalayim from the sons of Yishmael, and as a result, the city will be captured. The city will be conquered, the houses will become rubble, trampled by the conquerors, who also rape the women. The city will be conquered, and half the people will be exiled already, but the conquerors will have no time to complete the job, leaving a remnant of half of the people still remaining in Yerushalayim. So Hashem will allow the conquerors to exile half the people of the city and to destroy it, so they won't be able to say that they didn't mean to make war on the city, but only those who came to worship him. That Rashi eludes me a little bit. Pesach Gimel. V'yazah Hashem. Pesach Gimel. V'yazah Hashem v'nilcham bagoyim ha'hem k'yom hilachamo b'yom krav. And Hashem will go out and wage war with those nations as he waged war on the day of battle. Which means, Har HaZesim, the Mount of Olives, that's a mountain to the east of Yerushalayim. It has a northern summit and a southern summit, and there's a slight dip in the middle. The northern part is also called Har Tzofim. So Har Tzofim in the north, and in the south, that's Har Zesim. And you have to be able to have this image before, otherwise the next Nebuah is not clear. Picture this wall, and you have Har Tzofim, Par Tzofim on the north, and Har Zesim on the south. In the middle, there's a dip in the mountain. We'll see that dip is going to be going to have a split personality soon. The mountain is going to be split, as if Hashem were to plant both of his feet on the forest, the two sections apart. God is like standing on both sides of the mountain. It's going to divide in the middle. And the word regel, did I read Pasuk Dalet? I don't even know if I read it. I think I did. His feet will stand on that day in the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will split open at its middle, east to west, forming a very wide valley. Half of the mountain will move to the north and half of it to the south. Clearly I didn't read this too. V'amdu ragla b'yomahu al har ha'zeisim asher al pnei Yerushalayim, mikedem to the east, v'nivka har ha'zeisim mechetzio, it'll divide right down the middle, mizrach v'yoma ge gedola me'od, umash, bore, there's going to be a chasm, umash chatzi ha'har tzafona v'chetzio negba. And as the mountain is going to be split, as if Hashem would plant his feet on both sides, both pinnacles of the mountain, and force the mountain to split in the middle. Now the word regel, foot, also means cause. A regel could be a cause or a reason. We have this in Bereishis. And it's going to be clear that Hashem caused the mountain to split miraculously, says the Radak. Almost finished. Okay. V'nivkar harzeisim v'chetzio. How is it going to split? Now what do we think of when we hear a mountain splitting? Only one thing you think of, and that is an earthquake. We had an earthquake before in Amos, and now we're going to talk about another earthquake. An earthquake will break the Mount of Olives apart. The break starting from the east and going towards the west, separating the north and the south parts. In between there will be a deep valley, says the Mesudas David. And this will be so that the exiles will be able to escape through this valley. How are you going to say escape? They've already captured half the city. Half of them have been taken to exile. Half of them taken to exile. How the other half escape? Through the earthquake which has made the valley in the middle. The events described here are not to be taken literally, says the Barbanel, but rather are referring to the battle between Edom and Yishmael, which will take place on the Mount of Olives, which will therefore be split between them. Now, the reason, says the Bar Barbano, that this prophecy cannot be taken literally is because God never does miracles for no reason. And there's no reason that this miracle should be necessary, asserts the Bar Barbano. Pasuk Hey. Venastam Gei Harai Ki Yagia Gei Harim El Atzal Venastam Kasher Nastam Ipnei Harash Yimei Uzia Melchu Yehuda V'Hashem Elokai Kol Kedosh Mimach. And you'll flee to the Valley of the Mountains, for the Valley of the Mountains will reach Azal. In other words, you're going to flee into that valley that's been caused, that's been created with the fissure of the Mount of Olives, and that place is going to be called Azal, to escape the earthquake. You'll escape under there. You know, whenever there's an earthquake, you have to get out of a building. You never want to be in a place which could crumble upon you. So you're going to go down to that low place, and that's how you're going to escape. And you will flee as you fled from the earthquake that was in the days of Uzziah, the king of Yehuda. This is portrayed in Amos. And Hashem, my God, will come. All those holy ones will be with you. The people escape from their would-be captors through the valley between the two parts of the split mountain, which now has become two separate mountains. It was once one mountain split, now we have two mountains, says Mesudas David. The Targum Yonason reads the first word as Vinistam, it will close up. The split between the two mountains will close up, and there's a greater miracle than merely an earthquake that creates a permanent break. And it's one thing to break, but we're used to earthquakes breaking. A greater miracle is that it's going to now, it'll come together. The people who will have been taken captive by the Christians will escape from the battling parties through the valley to the mountains around Yerushalayim. These are my mountains, explains the Bar Barnel. Yegia Gei Harim El Etzel, in other words, the valley between the mountains will reach a place called Atzal. And its foot will close up completely to the top of the mountain. And it's very interesting, the word Atzal, they say, the Radak says, comes from the same word as Atzil. Atzil means an aristocrat, a noble person. So on top they'll be connected together. Top meaning like a top fancy person. We continue on. We're almost getting ready for our seeing. Almost. Okay. The people will escape to the mountains because they will be close to the valley, says the Bar Barnel. Okay. And you will flee, like we did, the people run away in panic, just as they ran away from the earthquake in the time of Uzziah, that I just mentioned at the very beginning of Amos, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Chazal connect all of these events. When Uzziah attempted to serve as a kohen in the temple, even though Uzziah was not a kohen, there was an earthquake. People became afflicted with tzaraat, and they complained the king became afflicted with tzaraat, and himself was like a dead person, so it's as if he had died at that point, King Uzziah. At this juncture, it's nice to mention Chaim Shlomitz's vort that we know that he became afflicted with tzaraas, and that was people wrote him off as if he was dead. Chazal say, "Dalet chashuvim kemes." Four are like considered akin, tantamount to dead. They are the ani, mitzora, Suma and Misha Choshech Banim. Four people are one who is blind, one who has no children, one who is a Mitzora, a leper, if you can translate that way, and a blind person. So Rav Chaim Shulevitz, why are they all considered tantamount to dead? So Rav Chaim Shulevitz said in a classic vart, the point of life is giving. A person lives when they give to others. Giving is life, life is giving. And these four people, they have every right to live like everyone else, but they are handicapped, hamstrung, and hindered in their ability to give, because one who is assumed, one who's blind, is inhibited. He's handicapped in his ability to give because he can't see who to give to. A person who's a poor person doesn't have the wherewithal to give. One who has no children, the primary giving one does is one gives to one's progeny. This person who could be the greatest giver in the world, but since they're not blessed with children to give to, they're lacking that aspect of giving. And one who is a mitzur, one who's a leper, is michutz l'machne, he's outside the camp, he's no one to give to, he's all by himself. That's why they're chashuvim kamest. The famous interpretation of Chaim Shulevitz. And then God and all the angels will come to help the Jews fight against Gog. God and all of his hosts will come, as opposed to the earthquake in the time of Uzziah. Very interesting. In the time of Uzziah, the earthquake was a sign of God's anger. He wasn't even a Kohen, he went into the base of Mikdash to do the service, so there's an earthquake. But now, this will be a sign of God's returning to dwell among the people. It's to their benefit. Pasuk Vav. V'haya b'yom ahu. V'haya or yikaros v'kipa'on v'haya yom echad hu yivada l'ashem lo yom v'lo layla. Eleis erev ye'or. Meaning, it will be on that day. The light will not be either very bright or very dim. So what an analogy. It will not be very dim. It will be a unique day. It will be known as Hashem's day, neither day nor night. But it will happen towards evening time that there will be light. Till I said, unfortunately, I had no idea what this was talking about. What does this mean? On that day, there will be no normal light or darkness, meaning that the situation will be unclear. People will not know whether the progression of events is for the good or for the bad. It's a sunset. It's a foggy thing. There's no light, which no one's enlightened to know. Is it good or is it bad? And that day, the sun, which is its own source of light, and the moon, which reflects the sun's light, says the Malbim, will stop shining, as Pasuk in Shaya says. There will no longer be any natural light. And all of a sudden, on that day, there will be divine light. Day of not day, not rest, Pasuk Zion. This uncertain situation will last for one day, and during that day only, Hashem will know the truth. Says Mitzvah Stavi, there will be only one day. At the beginning, the sun will still shine, and be recognized as daytime, but no night will follow. Now, who knows what that means? Here it goes to Chayu all over again. But in the evening, there will be light. When evening comes, everyone will realize that salvation is at hand, says Mitzvah Stavi. When the sun sets, the main light will begin to shine. That will be the divine light. This is all a way of saying that the heavenly light will shine from then on, and there will be no more darkness, troubles, or lack of abundance. Only light, only good, only peace, only success will reign, assures us the Malbim. Okay, Pasuk Ches. V'haya b'yom ahu yetzu mayim chayim Yerushalayim, chetzem al hayam hakadmoni, el hayam haacharon, b'kais v'charef yiyeh. The river is going to split. What does that mean? It shall be on that day, spring water will flow out of Yerushalayim. Half of it will flow to the eastern sea, and half of it will flow to the western sea. Which means Dead Sea to the east, and the Mediterranean to the west. Mayim Chaim, water of life. On that same day, spring will burst forth from Yerushalayim. This is the same spring which is prophesied by Yoel and by Yechezkel, coming out of the base of Mikdash. There will be a spring which will come out. The spring will symbolize the spiritual output of Yerushalayim at the time, says the Barbanel. And the water is going to flow in two directions. One stream will go to the east, to the Dead Sea, and it will go to the west, to the Mediterranean. Yechezkel, by the way, talks at length about the therapeutic powers of the water going to the east, the healing of the Dead Sea. The river will run both during the summer when streams... Interesting how the Mitzvah says this. The river will run both during the summer when the streams often dry up and during the winter when streams sometimes freeze over. Pasuk Tes. V'haya Hashem l'melech kol ha'aretz v'yom ahu yehi Hashem echad u'shmo echad. That sounds familiar. And on that day, God will be the king over the entire world, over all the land. Shem will be one, and his name will be one. This we're talking about now, as we said in our introduction, is already past the time of Gog and Magog. Then there will be total recognition because of the Mashiach. There will be no more idolatry in the world, a world free of idolatry. Can't wait that day. All the nations will accept God as their Lord. Only Hashem will be worshipped. Only His name will be mentioned. No one will worship both idols and Hashem, as was the custom at the time. Someone mentioned to me over the phone just the other day, why is it that we think Muslim is such a crazy religion that they insist everyone must be a Muslim, worship Allah, otherwise they will be put to the sword. We say the same thing, God will be the only one, and the answer is very obvious. Is that we're talking about at the end of days, we're talking about not everyone will be forced, just everyone will recognize on their own. No one's going to be forced to the choice of the sword or death, the sword or belief. At that point there'll be such a clarity, and everyone will know that Hashem Echad Shmo Echad. At the present, Hashem is known only by various ways of action. We know Him through justice, through mercy, etc., etc. But in the future, there will be only one simple hanhaga, one way of running the world. So that only one name will apply to Him. Hashem Echad, God whose name is one. So Hashem, I think I have some more material on this. Let's see. Negative. Almost there. Only three more pages of my notes. Pasuk Yud. Yisov kol aretz karava migevel rimon negev Yerushalayim brahma v'yashva sachteha l'mishar binyamin ad mekom shar harishon ad shar hapinim amigdal chananel ad yikvei hamelech. The entire land will change to a plain from Geba to Rimon, south of Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim will become lofty. It will be settled in its place, from the gate of Binyamin to the gate of to the place of the first gate to the corner gate, the Tower of Hananel, up to the king's winery. That's outside the city limits, says Rashi. Another Yerushalayim will then expand past its present borders. That's what will happen. Even without Bacon's law of Yerushalayim, it will going to expand. And notice the land around Yerushalayim will change to a low prairie, starting from the mountain of Rimon to the south of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, we know, is a mountain. It will stand out because of this, and it will look all that more impressive. All around the valley, prairie, meadow, and Yerushalayim will be standing very paramountly. The mountains of Geb and Rimon will become like this area of south of Yerushalayim, which is flat, says Rashi. Das Mikra says, the river flowing from Shalim will twist through the Arava from Geva, which is north Shalim, to the city, south of the city. Yerushalayim will remain high up in its original place as opposed to the place where it was built after Titus destroyed it. Abarbanel says something interesting here. Abarbanel points out that there's evidence that the current old city of Shalim is not in the place of the original city, because no corpses were buried inside the holy city. And yet, the tomb of Jesus is in the center of the old city, and therefore, the city is built on a place that was once a cemetery. So says the Barbanel. We'll just take a digression for a second. There are two places that Jesus is reputedly buried. According to the Greek Orthodox, he's buried as you come out of Shar Shechem. You walk for about 1.5 to 2.5 minutes. You see on the right, it's called the Garden Tomb. According to the Greek Orthodox, that's where he's buried. According to the other sects of Christianity, he's buried in the, forgot what it's called, but I think he's buried in that church which has the onion domes on it. I think that's where he's buried. So an interesting thing is that, so goes the story, and first I'll subscribe to the story. The story goes that in 1968, Golda Meir had an audience with the Pope. No one knows what they talked about. But when she came back to Yerushalayim, we're talking about less than a year after the Six-Day War, all of a sudden they built two gas stations right outside the old city. Now, as you know, it is very rare in Israel ever to find one gas station next to another gas station, with the one exception of a junction or on a highway where highways meet. Israel, not enough traffic to warrant two gas stations in the middle of nowhere. And here you find these two gas stations, one next to the other, on a road that is a one-way street, and no one ever seems to drive there, right next to the American Consulate. Why the two gas stations there? So they explained it right in front of the American Embassy, American Consulate, if you can picture. You have to see this. And unless it was pointed out, you wouldn't have noticed it. Right in front of the American Consulate, there is a little ditch, which is overgrown,
And inside, you look in the ditch, you see stones that date back, obviously, from the time of Shlomo Melech, or by Sheni at least. You see stones there from the wall, that's obviously forming a wall. And it's very, very remarkable that every single, they find a piece of pottery in Israel, they put up signs in orange and all kinds of colors, describing how this is a very important finding, which our archaeologists have discovered. And all of a sudden, right there, whatever this wall is, we have no clue what it's for. There's no signs, it's just an open area, surrounded on both sides by gas stations. So some explain like this. You're walking from the old city. Now, the old city walls that you come out of, Shar Shechem, that is not from the time of Shlomo Melech, that's from the Ottomans, the Turks built that. And then you see on your right, you see the Garden Tomb. But then you come to this wall. What's going on over here? They explain the following. The whole point of Easter and the resurrection was is that Hoseh Elisha was buried outside the walls of Jerusalem. He was resurrected and then went through the walls. However, if the wall which we see right there by the American embassy, if that's the general wall of Yerushalayim, which it is, that's the general wall Shlomo Melech built, and that's the time, that's the Negev for all the Lachos of Yerushalayim for Gabi, that inside the walls of Yerushalayim is the Zumas of the Reis, according to the Rambam of Netilas Lulav, and then, you know, Pidgin Maisa Sheni and Bikurim. If that's, those are the walls of Yerushalayim, that means he's never buried outside the walls, and this refutes the entire resurrection story. If that's the case, what was done is an act of obfuscation. She wanted to fulfill what the Pope wanted for her. She made two gas stations, because the unique feature of a gas station is there are wells underground, and you cannot dig. Because every time a spade went into the earth and you excavate these walls and more, it's more and more proof that he's not buried outside the walls, he's buried inside the walls. He's buried outside the walls of the Ottomans, but not the general walls of Yerushalayim. I hope I explained this carefully enough to you. If not, then you come to me and I'll have to be to show you on the spot, then it's very clear to see what I just explained. Okay. And Jerusalem will be fully settled. It will stretch from the Shar Binyamin at its northeastern point, where formerly there had been a gate, to the northwestern corner. And from Migdal Hananel to the north, to the king's wineries in the south. Two more pages of notes. Pasuk Yud Aleph. I'm saying that because the anxious Na'aleh staff, they're so good people. They wait and they wait and they wait. Their time is not their time. Their devotion is remarkable. They only smile at you. You keep them up at late at night. You could get them up here early in the morning. And they're always here only to serve you. And of course, you, the students, that's what they care about. And so therefore, you say you want to stay another 3 hours. They smile. Anything you say. No problem. No better people than the people who worked for Na'aleh. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'yashvu v'cherem lo ye'od yashva Yerushalayim levetach. People will live in it, and there will be no more devastation, and Jerusalem will settle in security speedily in our days. People will settle in Yerushalayim forever, and no scenes of destruction and no more bus bombings will ever take place in it again. Says Mitzvah Yud Beis. V'zos tiyah magefa asher yigov Hashem es kol ha'amim asher tzovu al Yerushalayim. Hamek b'sarov hu omeid, aragla ve'inav timakna, v'charehen, l'shon timak b'fihem. Whoa. I mean, whoever heard a Navi like this? This will be the plague with which Hashem will strike at the peoples that have organized against Yerushalayim. Those who besiege Yerushalayim, what are they going to be plagued with? Each one's flesh will melt away while he's standing on his feet. Each one's eyes will melt away in their sockets. Each one's tongues will melt away and their mouths. How is it going to do battle against these nations? By afflicting them with an illness. Their flesh will rot, not from a prolonged illness, but suddenly, as they're standing on their feet, all of a sudden, just gone. The illness described is that of limbs falling away, something which I assume is akin to leprosy, says the Das Mikra. Limbs, their eyes and tongues will rot away, says the Sura Stavit. Yud Gimel. Vayaba yomahu tiyem mahumas Hashem rabba bahem. Vechziku ish yad reyehu, v'asa yodo al yad reyehu. Shall be on that day that there will be a great panic of Hashem among them. Each one will grab the hand of his fellow, and his hand will be raised up against the hand of his fellow. This story is reminiscent of God will cause confusion amongst them. They'll grab one another for help, but in their confusion, they'll not be able to differentiate between friend and foe, and each one will be fighting against one another. They'll grab each other, but their limbs will fall away as they try and do so. What a scene. I mean, this makes Migdal Bavel seem like Mischak Yeladim. not only do they not understand each other, they're going to reach each other for help, and as they reach out, limbs are going to come off. Oh my goodness. Pasuk Yudalad. Yudalad. V'gam Yehuda, tilochem Yushalayim. V'usaf chel kol hagayim saviv zahav v'chesil v'gadim, l'rov ma'od. And Yehuda will wage war against Yushalayim. This is referring to the war which is mentioned above. And Yerushalayim will be plundered by an army that includes people of Yehuda. People of Yehuda will be conscripted into this army. So Yehuda will wage war against Yerushalayim, and the wealth of all the nations all around will be gathered, gold, silver, and garments, in great abundance. Adding to the confusion will be the people of Yehuda who will have been forced, conscripted, to join the forces of the conquerors. Once in Shalim, they will turn against the conquerors, will then suspect any soldier of belonging to them and of being an enemy. They turn coats, even though they were conscripted into the army against Shalim, because in Shalim, they're going to turn around and not fight against Shalim. Besides the conquering nations, others will come with intention of despoiling Shalim. All the belongings of the nations will be collected after the battle. Tesvav. Just like when God is going to attack, God will strike against Jerusalem's attackers, he will also do the same to the army's animals. And similarly will be the plague of the horse, the mule, the camel, and the donkey, all the animals that will be in those camps, just like this plague. The animals in the enemy's camp will be likely suffer from the illnesses that are described above, says Mitzvot David. Number 16. V'haya. Kol anosor mikol agoyim habayim ha'yushalayim ba'alu midei shana v'shana shtachavos l'melech Hashem tzvakos v'lachog eschag hasukos. And it will be punishment of the Egyptians and the punishment of all the nations that will not go up to celebrate the festival of Sukkos. What's this talking about? There will be people who will be witness to the battle of Yerushalayim, and they'll immediately do tshuva in order to be saved. Those of the nations who remained in their lands, who did not come to Yerushalayim for this battle, they are going to know about it then. Why? What does it connect to Sukkot? The battle will happen in Sukkot, and therefore the nations will come every year at the same time to commemorate the events. Sukkot is a festival during which it is decreed how much water the world will receive that year. Besides that, 70 oxen are sacrificed during the Sukkot for the 70 nations of the world. And that's why all the nations will come to Yerushalayim on Sukkot, because these korbanos are being done for them. Yud Zayin. Here we go, Sukkos again talking about the water. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the land does not go up to Yerushalayim to bow down before the King Hashem, Master of Legions, there will be no rain upon them. And it's because these people spurned the Sukkos festival. That's the time of rainfall which is being determined. That's why they're not going to get it. Egypt does not need rain. The nations are called families. These are enlarged families. Those who will not come to Yerushalayim on Sukkos will not pray for rain, thus showing that they do not accept God's kingship. They will not be blessed with rain. And in connecting with this pasuk Yud Ches, we see, Egypt does not need rain, for it uses the waters of the Nile. What will happen to the Egyptians if they do not come to Yerushalayim like the other nations? They don't get rain anyway, and therefore the punishment will be the same illness that struck the nations that tried to conquer Yerushalayim. They're going to fall apart. The Nile will not rise, and that's how they will be afflicted, in punishment for not coming to Yerushalayim. 19. Zos tiyach hatas Mitzrayim v'chatas kol ha-goyim shelo ya'alu l'choges chag ha-sukos. This will be the punishment of the Egyptians and the punishment for all those nations that will not go up to celebrate the festival of Sukkos. And these two punishments will be punishments for the various nations that will not come to Yerushalayim to celebrate the festival of Sukkos. Egypt will be afflicted with an illness, and the other nations will suffer a drought. That's what's going to happen. Chatat here means punishment, not sin. Pasuk Chof, we're almost finished. Chof. Wow, what an image. On that day, there'll be written on the horses' bells, holy unto Hashem, like on the tznif, that on the Kohen Gadol, holy Hashem, and the pots in the temple of Hashem will be numerous as the bowls before the altar. We'll see what the Mefarshim say to explain this. Otherwise, it's absolutely impossible to comprehend. The jingling bells taken from the horses who died in the plague will be consecrated to Hashem. It'll be as if they have Kodesh Lashem engraved upon them. Almost like that. And these jingling bells of the horses going up to Yerushalayim will have Kodesh Lashem. They'll have that graved upon them. And all will go something from so low to something which will be so elevated, so spiritually high. The golden jingling bells will be melted down for use as cooking ware in the temple. And therefore, they'll be like the utensils that are used in the altar, says the Mitzvot David. Says the Das Mikra that the pots of the temple will be used for service on the altar, for the utensils normally used for the sacrifice will not suffice for all the sacrifices which will be brought. And our final pasuk is Chaf Aleph. Yaakov Sir B'Yushalayim Yehuda Kodesh Lashem Tzavakos V'okol Hazovchim Lachum Mehem V'Yishlu Vahem. On that, and it will happen that every pot in Yerushalayim, and every Judah and in Yehuda will be holy unto God, Master of Legions, and all those whose sacrifice will come and take from them to cook in them. And there will be no longer be any merchants in the temple of Hashem, Kanani translates merchants, temple of Hashem, Master of Legions on that day. There will be so many sacrifices that will be brought in Yerushalayim that there will not be enough vessels to cook them all. So there will be so many vessels will be needed from the merchants who are going to have to sell their cooking utensils. And so this is how the Navi ends. He ends with the zenith of what's going to happen, says Zechariah. At the very end, there's going to be such a redemption of holiness. All these cooking utensils will be used for sacrifices, and therefore whoever wants to bring a sacrifice will be able to use any pot he finds without asking whether it's fit for that purpose, because everything's going to be tahor. And the people of Givon, these were the Kananim, they're declared to be the choppers of wood, the carpers, right, those people of Givon we know from Yoshua, who were declared to be the choppers of wood and the water carriers in temple time, that's Perek Tes in Yoshua, but in the future, this will not be necessary, for the greatest of the nations will volunteer their services as choppers of wood and water carriers. And there'll be no need for salesmen. Kanani means a traveling salesman. Where do you know what means a traveling salesman? I could tell you psukim all over the place, but we know it best from Na'aleh Staff, we know it best from Eshes Chayil. Chagur Nasla Kanani. You make a sheet, so what's left when you make a sheet? You make a sheet, there's little strands of fabric that are left over. So this Eshes Chayil is such an industrious woman, such a clever person, she's able to take these strands of fabric which are left when you make the sheets, and use these little strands and make them into belts. And then, because it's not tzanuah for a woman to be selling her ware, she gives it to Kanani, who's the traveling salesman. Chagur Nasla Kanani. She gives the belts to the Kanani, who's able to peddle it and sell for her. For more information on Eshes Chayil, refer to Rebson Heller's marvelous book on Eshes Chayil. There'll be no need for salesmen to traveling salesmen or cooking ware and beasts for the sacrifices, because the voluntary offerings brought by the pilgrims will be adequate. And then it will be Vayashem Lamelcha Kol Aretz V'yom Yashem Echad Ushmo Echad. And this unbelievably high note is the zenith we end Zechariah. Chazak, chazak.